Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening, welcome. Welcome back to those who are here. The first one, the second one, for those for your first time, welcome. Nice to have you. We went through last week stage part one, I would call it. Part one, dealing with what is it to be considered cooking on Shabbos? What can you do, what can't you do to actually be considered cooking? What we're going to do tonight are the rabbinic laws surrounding cooking on Shabbos. And these are going to be the ones that actually impact us most directly as to the ways that we can and cannot reheat food on Shabbos morning, which is a question that everybody really is interested in. What can we do? What can't we do? And that's what we're going to discuss and get to primarily tonight in the Mercy of Hashem. Next week, we'll go through some of the other laws that just impact the kitchen, preparing, washing dishes, opening packages, things like that. We'll touch on some of those odds and ends, which also impact us. Okay, but as far as cooking goes, so let's pick up. Just quickly, we reviewed again last week the ideas of cooking, Kli Rishon, the original pot that's on the fire, even after it's been off the fire, till the Kli Sheni. Not going to go through the whole thing. Now, as far as that goes, I'm going to review very briefly, and just mention actually, really now, because it's going to impact us today, is the difference between solid foods and liquid foods. And that is the sense that a solid food we discussed last week that has been cooked once cannot be cooked again. It's cooked already. Once you put it into the water base, and you cooked it, it's now cooked. If you take it out of the fridge and cook it again, you cannot halakhically cook the food a second time. Liquids do not share that principle. A liquid that has been cooked once, meaning it has been brought to a boil and then cools down completely, if you reheat it, even though it's been cooked once, the act of reheating the liquid a second time beyond what we call yatzoledes, by the temperature where your hands will recoil over 110, 120 degrees, is considered cooking it again. Now, the reason why this is significant as we go into today's section is that means when you take food out of your refrigerator Shabbos morning and you want to figure out a way to get it hot, so the first step that we're always going to be discussing is, do we have a cooking problem? Am I allowed to do this? Am I going to be in violation of cooking on Shabbos? If it's a solid food and you've cooked it already once, so then you'll pretty much be in the clear. Now, we discussed a little bit last week the difference between whether or not it was baked the first time or it was cooked the first time, and we're going to leave that aside for tonight. But as long as it's a solid food, you're pretty much good to go. If it's going to be a liquid, so then even though it's been cooked once, so then you can't even really get started with heating it up the second time because you're going to be cooking, and that is a problem on Shabbos. That's our review from last week. If that was too much too fast or unclear, we'll take a look at if you don't mind, you listened to the whole thing last week. So let's go through the two main, we'll cover a third also, the two main things for this morning, for this evening on page 7, you have letters H, I, and J. We have Shehiya and Chazara and Hatzmana. These three concepts, we'll go through them all now. Shehiya, H, is leaving, literally means leaving something. So we're referring to leaving food on an open flame. Now this again is going to be a rabbinic prohibition, meaning let's start from the top. The more that we understand the principles behind it, the easier it will be to remember it when you're sitting in your kitchen next Shabbos or two Shabbos from now, or even a month or 2 months from now. Technically speaking, if you put food on an open fire that was not yet cooked before Shabbos, you can leave it the whole Shabbos. It would be fine, even though it's going to continuously cook on Shabbos. It's not a problem. It's not any different than having turned on a light before Shabbos, and you continue to benefit from the electricity that's running through the light over the course of Shabbos, because your action was done before Shabbos. So whatever takes place over the course of Shabbos is not a problem. Cooking should have been the same thing. Take your cholent pot, you put it up on a flame before Shabbos, you put your soup, whatever it may be, and you just leave it. Let it cook over Shabbos. And then you take it out Friday night, and it's fresh, and it's just been cooking over the course while the men are at shul, or whether or not Shabbos morning, it's all totally fine, the fact that it actually cooks over Shabbos. The problem is, sages understood very well, that if that's what a person is doing, well, a woman is going to see that or it could be a man for that matter, that her dish is not quite done, or she's going to be checking on it, and if it's over an open flame, she's going to start meddling with the flame in order that it should either cook or not cook, however it may be, which is a major problem on Shabbos, playing with the flame. The more that you increase the flame, you have an issue. If you make it cook faster, you have an issue. You can be in violation of at least two principal malachas with that. So Chazal basically said, you cannot leave a pot over an open flame out of the fear that you are going to play with the flame in order to get it to cook. There's a rabbinic prohibition because of the fact that they were afraid of your playing with the flame, not because they were afraid of the cooking that will take place, because that's not a problem. I did my action before Shabbos started by placing the pot on the fire, but that if I have a pot on an open fire, I might come to do something wrong. Clear? So far, so good? Because this is rabbinic, and because they had a specific fear, there are numerous things that can be done to avoid that particular problem. Namely, as follows, the concept which the Gemara calls Geruvu Ketuma, which is either removing the ashes. Again, they actually had old-fashioned stoves, they had coals on the bottom, or whatever they're using to cook. You could actually remove the source of the fire, so that you just had the heat left, and you can leave your pot in there because there's no fear of your stoking the coals, because there are no coals. That's the one way that you could leave a pot in an oven and allow it to continue to cook over Shabbos. Or you can do what's called covering the coals with ashes, as they used to do it. They would cover it with sand or ashes or some type of material, so that when you would see that, you'd be reminded, right, this something is different about it. Usually I don't cook with this cover of ashes over my coals, but when I see that, I'll be reminded, oh, it's Shabbos today and I can't play with it. That will serve as my reminder that I'm allowed to leave my pot over an open fire, as long as the fire is not really open, it's been covered, which will serve as my reminder not to do anything on Shabbos. How does that affect us today? That's what we know and love as the blech. What the blech does is it allows you to leave a pot on from before Shabbos. The blech covers the flame so that now you can leave your pots cooking over Shabbos. Again, we're now talking on Friday. Let me just take a step back to make sure. We're going to do two things. Do letter H and letter I. Letter H is a Erev Shabbos halacha. How do we handle leaving something on from Friday, leaving it on over the course as now Shabbos starts? And then letter I, Chazara, returning the pot, is going to deal with once Shabbos has started, how can I get something onto heating elements. So right now we're still talking about Friday going into Shabbos. So if I put my blech on before Shabbos starts, I have a flame underneath, I put my blech down, I can leave my pot on and allow it to continue to cook, because the sages were no longer concerned that I'm going to mess with the fire, because I see something is different, and as long as I see that, that's enough. They were okay with my seeing something is different. It will remind me not to play with the fire. Yeah.
Question. Yeah. If you have a hot water urn, there's only one sage, and you can definitely plug it in a second before.
Yes, we're going to get to that. Yes, 100%. The only issue with that, which we discussed last week with the hot water urn, is if you take water out of the urn before it's fully cooked, it will then allow the other water to cook faster, and therefore you're not allowed. That's the only issue with doing that right before Shabbos, is you can't then take water until you know that it's completely boiled. But yes. Yeah.
Oh, what are we covering the blech with?
Anything.
It doesn't have to be too
cold. What, you mean you're covering the fire with? What are we covering the fire with?
No, the blech. Some people say we put two things of foil on the blech.
No, not necessary.
You also put a cookie pan on the blech. Do I need anything on that?
No, right now, again, we're only talking about being able to leave a pot on the fire as you go into Shabbos, and that doesn't need anything other than the fact that the fire is covered, which will serve as a reminder that you can't play with the fire.
Okay.
We're only talking about the cool Shabbos.
This is now before, and if you didn't, yeah, this is, we're not taking out of the fridge, taking food out of the fridge yet, we're just talking about, I want to leave my, yeah.
Never mind.
Okay.
If you take the pot off of the stove to serve, are you allowed to put it back?
You're jumping it, that's going to be I, that's the next thing.
That's
why I mean. Yeah, well, I wanted to take that step back, trying to preempt both of those questions that I failed in my efforts. Okay, any case. Now, a couple of points. Now, number one, today, how do we adjust the flame anyway? Right? With a knob. We don't play with the fire. So there's a major dispute amongst two of the more contemporary poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, whether or not, in today's day and age, is it sufficient to do what they did in the times of the Talmud, where they covered the fire, because that's what you would do, is you would actually play with the fire, with the coals. But we don't do that today. Today we play with knobs. So there's a dispute whether or not we say, listen, that's how the sages made the decree. Their decree was, you cover the fire, that will serve as a remembrance to you. Cover the fire. You don't have to worry about the knobs. Or do we say that since today we don't deal with the fire, all we deal with the knobs, you have to cover the knobs to remind you not to play with the knobs. So Rav Moshe Feinstein held you should cover the knobs as well, and we generally try to do that. You don't have to do that, but if you can, it is one of those things that are recommended to do, because after all, that it's certainly a logical thing to do, because that's where you need to have your memory jog. Don't touch that knob. So if you can, extend your blech or put a piece of foil over the knobs. It is highly recommended. If you're eating at a house where they didn't, it's okay. But it's a worthwhile thing to do. And we'll see when we get to certain, like a crack pot, for example. There you have to, because that's the only thing to do with the knob. You don't even have, there's no fire to talk about. The knobs are all you have. But ideally, you should cover the knobs as well, because that's actually where you come to change it. If you're looking at your pot and you wanted to make an adjustment, you would fiddle with the knobs. Yeah?
So since we're a knob society, Do we really need the black? Do we really need to cover the fire?
So the black, because you know, everyone says that once the sages make their decree to cover the fire, you for sure have to cover the fire. You can't get around their decree. Whether or not we then say, in order to fulfill the decree, you also have to cover the knobs is where the discussion is.
So if we had sages running around...
Yeah, we 100%.
Fire.
They could change, yeah.
That's the problem in today's society.
Right, if we had... Right, we also... Yeah, we also might only have one day of Yontif if we had the sages, you know. I mean, the knob, the fire issue would be the least. If we had sages like that today, I would stay away from the fire and I'd go straight to the second day Yontif. But we don't, so we're left with what they said in the times of the Talmud. But that's right.
Okay.
What you're saying is right.
So we screw around the fire, but really it's the knobs.
In other words, you have to cover the fire because that's what the sages said to do.
Right.
And then you have Moshe Feinstein saying, listen, the knobs are really where you need to have your memory jog, so you should cover the knobs as well.
Got it.
Okay, now, there's one other... Major, yeah.
Is there an issue with other people seeing, or is it just enough? In other words, do we cover a knob so that if people are in the house, they'll see that we're...
Yeah, everyone. In other words, you don't know who's going to like walk by your kitchen and see the pot and say, well, this needs a little bit more fire. If you have a pot on an open fire, you need to have it would need to be covered. But yeah,
the knob. I mean, if I'm alone in my house and I know I'm not going to touch
it... No, you should cover the knob anyway.
What?
You should cover the knob anyway.
So it's not an issue of other people
seeing. No, it's for you. It's for you. And you can't ever say, I know that I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Because someone as great as Solomon said, I know and I'm not going to, and he did and he messed up also. So therefore we learn from that. We don't say, I know I'm not going to make any mistakes. Okay, now, there's a major discussion in the Gemara which we're not going to get into the details exactly. What level of cooking had been done already that we were concerned that you're going to come to stoke the coals? Meaning, do we say every single pot that's on an open fire, we have a fear that you're going to start messing with the coals? Or do we say only if it hasn't yet been cooked to a point where you're going to... that didn't come out clear. Let me start again. I'll just undo that on the tape recording. The Gemara presents two opinions. I want to keep it straight. I'm only going to go with the opinion that we go with as a halacha to keep it simplified. Once the food has been cooked more than what we described last week of kemaychol ben jusa, either a third or a half cooked, once it's already been cooked that amount, we are not afraid that you're going to start fiddling with the fire because the food is already sufficiently cooked to be able to eat. So that if it's already more than halfway cooked, then this entire discussion which I've been talking about not leaving a pot over an open fire, technically the sages said, as we understand in the Gemara, you don't have to worry about it anymore, because it's already at least half cooked, it's edible as it is. We're not afraid you're going to start messing with the fire once it's already that much cooked. Only if it's still to the point where it's inedible, then I have a fear that you're going to come by, you're going to see it's almost time for the su'udah, time to eat the meal. The food is not cooked. You're going to start playing with the fire. But if it's already cooked, don't worry about it. Now, this is significant because that means in halacha, once the food is more than halfway cooked, which generally people are pretty good, there always are exceptions to this, for that last minute plugging in the urn, the last minute plugging in the cholent, you realize the cholent, the fuse burst. You have these situations where you're putting something up right before Shabbos. But as long as the food is more than halfway cooked, you technically can leave it over an open fire without any issues. Because the sages only were afraid if it wasn't yet at least halfway cooked, that you'd have a problem. The custom, however, is, and I just want to be clear on what is the law and where are the customs. The law is, once it's been halfway cooked, you want to leave a cholent, a soup, on an open fire, you're technically allowed to. Because it's been more than halfway cooked already, and the sages didn't make a decree at that point. The custom is, we don't leave food on open fires, period. That's the general custom. So we put a block on. You want to leave something on an open fire once Shabbos starts? You put a block down. That's a custom. It is not required. Once the food has been halfway cooked, if you want to have a soup, let's say, and you want to leave it on a fire and you don't want to have a block on, so you can leave it on the fire once it's been more than halfway cooked, which it generally would be. But the general custom is to leave a block on as far as open fires on Shabbos goes. Just one second. Let me just... Yeah. Okay.
The soup is liquid and it's cooking down as it's still on the fire. It's cooking. Cooking down. It's evaporating. So isn't that cooking? We have the issue with...
You're allowed to. You did your action before Shabbos, so it's not a problem.
But it's still cooking.
You're right. Of course, it is cooking. You're not cooking on Shabbos. I cooked before Shabbos, and it's continuing on its own. That's why I'm allowed to do that.
Even though it's evaporating.
Yeah. You could do it even if it's not just evaporating. It's actually cooking the meat. It's fine. Yeah.
So chestnuts are fine roasting on an open fire.
Chestnuts are fine roasting on an open fire. I don't get the joke.
Before Shabbos.
What's the next line? Maybe sing me one more verse. Maybe I'll get it. No, still not. One more?
I'm sorry.
The answer to your question is no, whatever your question was.
So if you have pot on the open fire and it has... You've decided that you're not going to have a blend.
Uh-huh.
Take the pot off. You now have an open flame, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, 100%. But that's you're not. Now we're not talking about the laws of Shabbos in the kitchen. Now we're talking about fire safety, which is important. I'm just saying as far as the halachic issue goes, there's no problem having just an open fire, because if you're not cooking on it, we weren't afraid you're going to stoke the coals.
Okay. So my next question is, can I take a tea kettle or something with water and put it over the center of the flame to avoid burning?
Excellent. So that's going to be with water in the tea kettle.
Something's
got to
be in it so it doesn't burn the pot up.
Right. So that's going to be the net. That now you're going to be cooking on Shabbos. That's going to be a major problem.
Okay. So what do you do?
You put a blech on.
So I could put a blech over it. See,
you can put a blech on it on Shabbos. That you can do. In other words, because a blech is not cooking. In other words, if it's the type of blech that we generally use, which doesn't get red hot. So that you would not be able to do. No, you could not fill that with water because then you're cooking the water on Shabbos. You could not put that down on Shabbos. But your old-fashioned metal sheet, you're allowed to put down on Shabbos.
If it gets red hot, you can't.
Then you couldn't, because then remember I just got mentioned last week that cooking is physically changing the properties of a material through heat, even if it's not food. And metal, you can soften metal, if you can take a piece of metal which was not malleable, and then you can soften it. So generally, once it gets red hot, if you had the right utensils, you'd be able to pretty easily manipulate it because of the heat that it's getting. So then that would be said. But most of our blocks don't get red hot. The ones that I've seen, I haven't seen a block in my life that I can remember that gets so red hot. You put a block on it, so it's a fixed sheet of metal, and it works as a block. So that type of block you're allowed to put on Shabbos because nothing's happening. The metal's not cooking. There's no food on top of it, so there's technically no problem with putting a blech down on Shabbos. And if you needed to, let's say you even have your soup and you forgot to put the blech on, so the soup is there and you wanted it, you just forgot. And you're asking me a question of, I took the soup off and now it's like 3 hours later and I realize, like, what do I do with this open flame? So you could put a blech on it. Let's say you want to have the blech on, but you lit candles, you get back in the kitchen, like, oh, I forgot to put the blech down. So now I have the soup on the fire and I want to have a blech. So once we get through letter I, in terms of what do you do in order to get something off and be able to put it back on, you are allowed to go through that process, take the soup off, put the blech down, and then put the soup back on. But that'll be contingent on getting through all the criterion letter I, which won't be so difficult, but you would be allowed to do that on Shabbos also, in which you're actually taking the soup off once Shabbos has started, put a blech down, and put the soup back on top. That you can do.
An oven is not considered a wholesome firearm.
Oh, so an oven, that's our next letter. So we get to letter F. So we have ovens now. Technically speaking, it is an open fire because at least most of the ovens that I'm familiar with, the heating element is right there in front of you to see. So it's not covered, which means that you would only be allowed to leave something in an oven that's on if it already had been at least halfway cooked. Assuming it had been halfway cooked, so then you'd be allowed to keep your oven on. You put your food in there before Shabbos, and it can continue to cook over Shabbos without a problem because it's an open fire. It's not a problem as long as my food has been more than halfway cooked.
But you can't take one item out.
Right. And then you can have a whole slew of other... All that's covered has allowed you to keep your food in the oven, continue to cook or bake, even after Shabbos starts, because I did my action before Shabbos. The fact that I have this uncovered heating element, which has the status of a fire, is fine because I don't need a blech since it's more than halfway cooked. You're going to have a lot of problems in terms of getting the food out, closing the oven door. There's just a slew of issues once you then, now what? If you have a timer that can turn it off, then that's fine. But if you don't have a timer to turn it off, once the oven is on and you have food in there, then you just run into other problems besides for the fact that the food is in there. Closing the oven door, you have a lot of ovens today where they're mechanized, where they sense when it gets cool, they're going to turn the oven. As soon as you open it up, the door, and all the colder air rushes in, it's going to force the oven to turn on, the heating element to reignite. There are all sorts of other issues with an oven other than cooking, so it's, which is why it's not recommended to use an oven.
What's the difference between an electric oven turning back on because it senses it, and a refrigerator turning the electricity on to cool yourself?
Excellent question. The only difference is whether or not it's guaranteed to happen. A refrigerator, and I'll take this opportunity once we're doing Shabbos laws in the kitchen, a refrigerator has a motor which also senses when it heats up, right, that it has to kick on the element to cool it back down, which is why you're not allowed to open up a refrigerator and leave it open for an extended period of time. We know that that's going to happen for that same reason. Because you know, the reason why I'm allowed to open up my refrigerator, I'll start the other way around. The reason why I'm allowed to open up my refrigerator is because, go test it out tonight, open up your refrigerator, take out a drink, close your refrigerator, nothing happens. Go to the water fountain, take a drink, finish, nothing happens. Open up your refrigerator or go to the water fountain and hold it for 30 seconds and you're guaranteed to kick on the oven, the motor, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos either. You cannot keep your refrigerator open for a point in time where you know it's going to kick on the motor for that very same reason. The only reason why you're allowed to do it is because it's not guaranteed to happen. And if it so happens, it happens, but it's not, your action wasn't directly causing it because I'm planning on opening it and closing it again, or I'm waiting till I hear the motor go on its own and then I do it. But 100%, to open it and know that it's going to go on is not okay on Shabbos. An oven would be the same thing in the sense of it's just, if you open up your oven and you close it, it's just playing a numbers game in terms of like, run your experiment at home in terms of how does that work in terms of kicking on the elements to keep it at the temperature where it will kick back on. It's not a lot of time. It's also harder to know, like you don't hear the engine. I don't know how you run that experiment. Most ovens don't.
Well,
they just.
Like if you're standing beside your wife, she can open it. You can grab the pot and close it real quick.
Oven. So there are a bunch of issues with the oven aside for just it turning back on. If there's food still in there, then you have a cooking issue. You have to make sure that everything is fully cooked also. Otherwise, you get back into you're speeding up the cooking process if there's still food in there that hasn't fully been cooked. So you have the ovens are a series of issues in terms of dealing with, which is why it's generally not recommended to use an oven unless you had it on a timer where it goes off and then you're going to take everything out once Shabbos starts.
So what you're saying is that Shabbos, if you set the timer for it to go off before the family gets home,
mm-hmm,
or as they walk in the middle, whatever,
mm-hmm,
and it's off and you're taking everything else out except the baked apples, and you leave those in, close the door, serve the meal, then take the baked apples out, which the oven's already off.
Right,
if everybody is coming, if you
are they cooked already?
Yeah, sure. Everything has.
They're fully cooked.
Yeah.
It's just a warmer at that point.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, even a pie, if you stick a pie in.
Because you couldn't stick it in.
No. It's cooked.
In that situation, I think it should be okay. The oven's off already.
Yeah.
The pile was already in there before.
Yeah, everything was in there before Shabbos. The oven goes off and taking out all the food except for one thing when it's already been cooked.
And the oven.
So my oven's probably not hot enough anymore.
Yeah, I think it should be fine. The only issue is there's a, which I'm not sure about, and I'll add it to my list of things to. Oh, I don't have my pen. Forget it. I'm not gonna look at it.
The oven was still there.
Right, but it's not. In other words, you have to go through what the issues are. In other words, there's no issue of cooking because it's already been cooked. So you're not increasing the cooking. The oven is technically off, so you're not even leaving it over an open flame. It's the coals of as if they've been removed already. And so, right, going to adjust because it's off.
And the other thing you're saying, if I hear you correctly, if you know how long it takes for your oven door to be open before it kicks on, as long as you stay within those parameters, you're all right?
If it's already cooked.
Everything's what? Already cooked.
You're just a huge.
Just
take it out in a hurry.
Right. But. So in other words, if your oven is still on?
Yeah, it's at 200, let's say. In other words,
how much food's in there?
It's
going
to blow much faster. It's better to high temperatures.
Right, it's not going to take much to go below. When you have it at those low temperatures, how long does it take until it cools below that where it's going to kick back on?
It's better behind.
Yeah,
but you don't want it on very high.
No,
right, you generally have it on pretty low. Right, you just want it. You just want it as a warmer. Right.
So everyone gets pumped. But I never had worried before about the dessert being left in the oven until you said that.
Okay, I'll double check that.
But you make the sure check about the oven, because I could leave on at 200 and then I took everything out in the big hurry while it's still on. And I guess maybe that's the wrong thing.
Because you're leaving it on.
Yeah, 200 degrees. Just Friday
so
night.
So it stays on all Shabbos?
Just Friday night.
How does it turn off?
The oven, that's what I'm saying, I've been taking it out when it wasn't turned off.
So the oven stays on the whole Shabbos?
Yeah.
At 200?
Yeah. I don't use it on Saturday. Just Friday night waiting for those to come back right. Or whatever. So maybe I need to stop that practice.
Because you're afraid because it's going to be cooking back on. Right, she's just concerned about it cooking back on. In other words, like what's the amount of time that you can leave it open before you're afraid that it goes back on?
Cooking air.
No, but you're causing the motor to kick itself, the engine, whatever it is, the electricity to kick itself back on to keep the temperature.
Then that's like your refrigerator.
Right.
No.
So the question is just in terms of the mechanics of an oven, okay. In terms of, yeah. I'll look into the oven. I don't agree with anything that he says in this class. I just want you to know that. You know what? Until that last comment, I would have said it was okay, but now forget it. Okay, let's go on.
How about raw meat, actually?
Oh, so raw meat, yeah. So the exception is raw meat does not need a blech. In other words, since the entire concern that Chazal had is that you're going to come to play with the fire to get the food ready, if you have food that can't be ready anyway Friday night, it's for sure going to have to cook the whole night until Shabbos day, so they're not afraid of you meddling with the flame because it's not going to do anything. So anytime you have any piece of raw meat, let's say you forgot to put the cholent up. Again, if you have a crock pot, we'll get to in a second, is a little bit easier, but let's say you want to leave a crock pot on an open fire, which is the way that you want to cook, and you forgot to put the cholent. It's 5 minutes before Shabbos. Like, what are you going to do? I don't have a blech. So it's fine as long as you throw some meat in there. Even one piece of meat in the entire pot will establish the entire pot in your mind as off limits for that evening. And if you needed to leave an entire pot of cholent on an open flame, you can do so as long as there's some raw meat in there, because that in itself will cause you not to play with the fire because of the raw meat not going to be ready anyway on time. So if you ever get stuck in a last minute kind of thing, that also is a significant, someone just, yeah.
Yeah, what about ground meat?
Anything that can't be ready. I don't know if the ground meat, how fast is that? Like,
no, because I heard like again that this was hot dogs because they actually...
They cook fast?
Yeah.
Oh,
hot
yeah.
Chicken.
I don't know.
No, you're cooking it. It'll cook. Right. I mean, it's cooking like your cholent is cooking.
The hot dog has the nitrates and stuff. It's not as dangerous as the raw hamburger meat. No, I'm saying it will actually cook in an hour. If you put it on the hot dog, it will cook in an hour.
Okay, let me go on. So as far as crock pots and hot plates with multiple settings, so in those situations, as far as if you want to leave something on there, again, the flame is already covered, meaning your crock pot, you can't see a flame. There's nothing to look at on a crock pot. There's nothing to see on the hot plates. But you have to cover the knobs because the knobs become the primary means of adjustment. So if you want to, so with your crock pot, the general custom therefore always is to cover the knob with, again, let's go over the, let me just go over there. The law is, it's required in halacha, if it's less than halfway cooked, you must cover the knob with some piece of foil, because otherwise, it's considered as if leaving it on an open flame, the knob is the only form of adjustment, and it's not yet halfway cooked. You'd be required, if you wanted to let it continue cooked, to cover the knob. Assuming it is already more than halfway cooked, then we would just have that the general custom would be not to leave things over an open fire, which on a crock pot would mean covering the knobs with foil. So general practice would be to cover your crock pot, or if you have a hot plate with more than one setting, anything which you can adjust should cover with a piece of foil to remind you not to adjust. Yeah?
We've found it's much easier and much safer to use a piece of masking tape. Because you can't move the knob if you tape it.
Oh, as opposed to foil.
It'll
fall off. You get jammed. Okay, fine. No, which is fine as far as saying. The main thing is, there's a reminder for you to see that will give you that extra pause before you do so. But if tape works better, you know, that's also totally fine.
With that
long
thing, does the stone pot count? Like, let's say you forgot to put your chillin' on, 5 minutes before time. Can you put it on and there's raw meat in it?
Yeah.
Before
Shabbos? Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be.
But in other words, if it's less than halfway cooked,
right,
then generally I would have said, let's say you're making a vegetarian cholent.
Okay.
Heaven forbid. You're making a vegetarian cholent right before you forgot 5 minutes before Shabbos. So then, if you wanted to plug that in and leave it on before Shabbos, you must cover the flame. Because otherwise you have this situation. This is what the sages are talking about putting food up that's not halfway cooked. How do you cover a flame on a crock pot? So you have to cover the knob. If you have the regular crock pot, or if you're putting a chulon up on the flame, you have to have a block. If you want to use a crock pot, you cover the knob. If you have a piece of raw meat in there, then the whole deal is off because they weren't afraid at all, and therefore you wouldn't even need to cover the knob if you had a crock pot and nothing to cover the knobs with right before Shabbos. But the custom would be to cover the knobs anyway.
For Shabbos morning, because by then it would be cooked. Wouldn't you have to cover the knobs?
No, because now it's already cooked. In other words, they were concerned. It was because this is rabbinic, so therefore they said, we're concerned about your Friday night meal and your Shabbos day meal. Even though technically, what about the guys sneaking at 2 o'clock in the morning to get your... They were concerned about your Friday night meal and your Shabbos day meal. So Friday night's not going to be ready. My Shabbos day will be ready. So they weren't concerned about raw meat. But the general practice anyway is to cover the knobs, as we don't leave things over in an open...
I just cover the knobs. You said, what if you've left the hot thing too high and you know it's going to burn?
Yeah.
And spoil.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to turn it down?
No.
I don't understand the turning of the knobs. You say don't cover it.
No, you want to cover them. In other words, since the knobs is our modern-day means of stoking the coals, so you need to cover them to remind us not to turn it down or to turn it up.
But then you said you didn't have to cover it if you had a piece of raw meat in it.
Right, because you're not going to play with it anyway because it's not going to be ready.
But it might get, but to the knife so high, it's going to get more than ready.
Yeah, so but you're right. But technically speaking, the raw meat allows you, when Shabbos starts, not to cover it. And then, so it's good practice to cover it anyway, but you should not turn it down. Turning it down is a lot better than... Turning it down is a lot better than turning it up. Turning it up is always a major problem. Turning it down is a minor problem. Usually you can have a non-Jew turn things down just because of the malacha is either cooking or havara, lighting a fire. So when you turn up a crock pot, you're doing both. You're lighting a fire, you're causing a greater level of fire, and you're cooking. When you turn things down, you're not cooking, you're preventing cooking, and you're not doing the malacha of lighting a fire. You're extinguishing one, but you're not really extinguishing the fire. It's a lot lighter of a malacha, turning something down, extinguishing something, as opposed to lighting a fire. So it's easy to do, but you shouldn't do it just on your own anyway.
So if you had an open chowder pot, and it was going to overcook, and your hot water for your coffee, and you didn't use a cleat,
you
just fill the chowder pot.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. That's next.
Okay.
We're getting there. Okay, one more thing in Shehiyah, the hot plates with only one setting, which we're going to talk a lot more about in a moment. If you have a hot plate with one setting, you want to leave food on there, that you don't need to do anything. If, again, we're on Friday, You want to leave food on there before everybody goes to, before you light candles. You have a hot plate, there's only one setting, there's nothing to adjust. So there's no problem. Again, what are the problems you talk about? Am I cooking anything? No, everything's been cooked already before Shabbos, and I'm doing the action before Shabbos anyway. So I'm putting food on the hot plate. The only fear would be I'm going to mess with some knobs. There are no knobs to mess with. So that'll be totally fine. If you wanted to leave food on a hot plate on Friday night, you're totally fine. You can do that. You don't have to put, you don't have to cover it. You don't have to do anything. Put the food on there, light your Shabbos candles, and go take a rest.
Trick question.
I don't answer trick questions.
The power goes out. Hot plate has automatic setting. If the power goes out, the hot plate will come back on.
That's right.
When the power comes on, your food isn't cooked. You put it on the hot plate. You know it's going to come on.
You lost me. And I'm sure the answer is no.
Not the hollow, but it is inevitable that
I was
going
to go out.
Storm or snow, ice, the lights are going out. And if you have your left plugged in, some of them come back on when the lights come on.
Right. Because you have one. You,
no, but what I'm saying is.
You have an light. You have it.
Can you
it's
can't
not
eat?
Cooked.
Because now you left the food on there?
Yeah. Should you unplug it knowing that it's going to come back on?
Well, you don't have to unplug it. You just take the food off.
Do you need to take the food off?
That's such an interesting question. It like misses all the cases because it's, you're not doing anything, but you...
I should have been
safe. First of all, it's not too late. I don't know. Let me just work that through. I don't want to do that. I want to get through something and then we'll... Okay, I do chazar. This is the main... This is returning a pot to a fire in Shabbos. Letter I. This is the big one. So now, I want to put something back onto it. Everything we discussed until now was, what do I need to do in order to leave something Friday on a fire to be able to keep it hot over the course of... over Shabbos, or at least, say, Friday night. The next big issue is where something has been taken off of a fire, whether or not it started on the fire. Let's say my cholent pot starts Shabbos in the crock pot and I take it out, or my soup is on the flame Friday night when I light candles and I take it out to serve and I want to put it back on the fire. Or I'm taking it out of the refrigerator Shabbos morning. But either way, we're now into a new realm where food has been taken off of a fire and I want to put it back onto a fire. How can I do that on Shabbos? So number one, again, the first step always is we need to make sure that there is no bishul issue, that I'm not violating actual cooking when we talk about this. Meaning to say, if you have a liquid involved in this discussion, and the liquid is no longer hot, well then the first problem is there's nothing to talk about. You can't take something, a cold liquid, and put it onto a hot element that's going to raise its temperature, because that's going to be a cooking problem. So that's just the first step, just in terms of dealing with everything has to be fully cooked, in terms of ever being able to put something on a fire on Shabbos. So the first thing, it has to be that it's fully cooked. And if it's a liquid, it can't be cold. If it's still steaming, let's say you have a cholent or a soup pot that just came off of the fire, then it can go back on because it's still hot. But if it's not hot anymore, then the liquids are out and everything has to be completely fully cooked. Now here the concern is different than the first concern of shehiyah, of leaving something on a pot. The first topic we discussed, the concern was you're going to mess with the fire. So everything was addressing, what do we need to do to make sure that you don't come to play with the fire? When it comes to putting food back on a fire, the sages had a different concern. Their concern was, it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Because you're taking food and you're putting it on a fire. You're doing the act of, which is an act of cooking on Shabbos. I took food, I put it on a fire. You can't do it on Shabbos. Oh, my food was cooked already. Well, guess what? I don't know what's in your pot. I just see a pot coming out of the refrigerator going on a fire. That doesn't work on Shabbos. So the sages, if we allow you to do that, things are going to get confusing, people are going to get all messed up, and they're going to start cooking on Shabbos. So you can't do something on Shabbos that looks like cooking. Putting things in an oven is going to be a problem because it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos, which is why we don't put food into an oven on Shabbos. Putting food on an open fire looks like cooking. You can't do something that looks, even though there is no cooking going on, my food is completely cooked. So halachically speaking, there is no cooking, but I can't do something that looks like cooking. Therefore, one second, let me finish the one thought. Therefore, the requirements to allow you to get something onto a heating element are always going to be centered around making sure it doesn't look like I am cooking. And if I can figure out a way, which we'll go through, that it does not look like I'm cooking, as long as I'm really not cooking, meaning my food is completely cooked and I don't have any cold liquids, so that I'm not cooking, if I'm not cooking and it doesn't look like I'm cooking, then I'll be okay. Yeah?
Why did they invent the Shabbos mode? If you can't open up your...
For Yontif. Yeah, it's very misleading. They should call it a Yontif mode. That's correct. That's one of the most confusing things about those ovens is there are horror stories that Rabbanim like to talk about when they get together at these conventions of erlich, honest, good Jewish people coming to them saying, finally they taught, you know, they came up with the Shabbos mode oven. I've been waiting, I'm cooking all my food. I'm like, literally people think I can cook on Shabbos, but I put on Shabbos mode and like all of a sudden like the laws of Shabbos go out the window because I have a Shabbos mode oven. They're like, they're cooking on Shabbos because they set their oven before Shabbos. All it does is it regulates the temperature and do that, but it doesn't. It's a great Yontif tool, but it does not allow you to cook on Yontif, and you can't put something in on Shabbos because of this problem. It looks like you're cooking.
Well, if I keep my oven on 170,
I gotta get through this stuff. You can say I gotta get. We can deal with it. I gotta get through this stuff.
It looks like you're cooking to whom? If no one else is in the house.
No, yeah, that doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. You can't do something that looks like it's cooking. That's the decree. Doesn't mean if any, you have company, you don't have company, you're by yourself, it doesn't make a difference. They prohibited acts that look like the act of cooking, which means taking food, putting it on a heating element, looks like cooking. You can't do that on Shabbos. Now, what that means is they put five conditions, and what we're going to go through now are the five conditions to be allowed to put something back on a fire, which is going to apply in certain circumstances. It's not going to help us, I'm going to say this from the get-go. The five conditions which will allow you to put something back on an open fire will not help Shabbos morning, taking something out of the refrigerator. But based on these, we're going to come to the understanding as to what can you do Shabbos morning. Yeah?
But what does this mean? Must it affect in maintaining the original
place? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me talk about it. Meaning, the five conditions that we're going to do right now in letter C are going to create a scenario that says, why am I allowed to put a pot back on a fire? Because I'm not starting a cooking process. I'm really just continuing something which had started from before. It's the original cooking is just continuing through these five conditions, and that'll come clear hopefully in a moment. Condition number one, the flame must be covered with a blech. So that, number one, again, this is going to be a little different than what we were discussing with leaving something over fire, because there were circumstances when you can leave food on Friday on an open fire. As long as it's more than halfway cooked, you're technically fine. Keep custom is to cover, but you can. When it comes to returning something to a fire on Shabbos, you can never put anything over onto a heating element, a fire heating element, if it is not covered. If it's an open fire, never, ever, ever. So ovens, for example, are not covered. The heating element is right there. An open fire, you always would have to have a blech covering the element that you're going to be putting onto. That's number one. Number two, food is completely cooked. Let me give a practical example as I go through these five. The two examples where this is going to come up the most is going to be your chulin pot where you want to take it off Friday night, either to take some or to add hot water to, whatever the case may be. But since, as we learned last week, you can never scoop chulins out of a pot while it's on the fire, that means if you either want to add hot water or you want to take some chulin Friday night, you must take the crock pot out of its base. Well, how do I get the crock pot back into its base now that I want to do that? That's what these conditions are going to be. In order to fulfill this, in order to be able to get your food back in, so then you have to fulfill these following five conditions. Your Friday night soup. Let's say you have a situation, you left your soup is on the fire, and one of your guests wants to have a pot of soup. So fine, no problem. We're not going to be serving soup for another hour because I just lit Shabbos candles and it's one of those, whatever the timing is. I want to give my kid dinner, but I can't take the soup while it's on the fire, so I have to take my soup off of the fire. Great, but I want to keep it back on the blech over the fire because it's really not being served for another hour. I want it to be piping hot. How do I manage that where it's already Shabbos, I lit candles, I want to take my soup off, give some to somebody, and then be able to put it back on. Here are the five conditions to be able to do that in which you're going to actually take a pot and put it on a fire on Shabbos. Number one, the flame has to be covered. So if you didn't have a blech on, nothing to worry about. You had a situation, I wanted to have my pot on an open fire. You're not serving soup to your kids before everybody else comes home, because once that soup comes off, if you don't have a blech down, you're not putting it back on. But that would be another example where you're allowed to put a blech down on Shabbos, right? You thought you're just going to leave it on an open fire. Now somebody wants an early bowl of soup. You take it off. So you say, well, now what do I do? Well, put a blech down, and then you can put it back on. Number two, the food is completely cooked. Number three, cannot have completely cooled off. So however long you're going to keep it off, so it can't be like it's off for 4, 5, 6 hours. It's got to be where, again, that's that line of, it's got to be continuation of the original cooking. It comes off, and then it's going to go back on before it cools off. Number four, the pot has to remain in your hands. You have to hold on to this pot in the sense of, I'm maintaining the original thing. I'm going to keep my hand on it, and my, which basically means that my head, that I'm going to be returning it, so that I physically hold on to the pot, be it the cholent pot that I'm filling with water or taking, or the soup pot, until it goes back on. And number five, when it's removed, you have the intention to return it. These are your conditions to be able to actually put a pot back onto the fire, that when you took it off, I know that I'm putting it back on. For example, with my soup pot example, where you, the soup is on, guests come home, everyone's home for Friday night to take the soup off, you serve, and you realize, you know, half the people didn't want, but they're going to want later, you forgot. At that point, when you took it off, you thought you were done. You're going to put it back in the refrigerator after it's over. It's on the table. You serve everybody. At that point, it's not going back on to the fire. It can't. In order to go back on, it has to be that when you took it off, you had intention to put it back on. You keep your hand on it. Now, this is relevant for the main two examples that I came up with. You might have others of where you want to give out a bowl of soup before everyone comes home. Soup comes off. While you're holding on to it, you can dish out a bowl to somebody. You have in mind you're putting it right back on. You are allowed to then put it right back on. Cholent pot, you see there's not enough water in there. It's going to burn out. Let's take the cholent pot out. Go over to your urn, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. You pour the water directly from the urn into your cholent pot. While you're holding your cholent pot with one hand, you got everything figured out. This is where you need two people to do this. It just doesn't work otherwise. And then you can put the cholent pot back into the... But you're allowed to do that, putting the cholent pot back in after having filled it with water, because when you took it out, you had intention to go back in. It's fully cooked again. If it's not, if you put that cholent pot in right before Shabbos, then this would also be out of the question. You could not do this. It has to be where it's completely cooked, which means it's been several hours already that it's been there. So you fulfill that it's already completely cooked. You have the intention. You're going to keep your hands on the pot the whole time. You're allowed to take it out, either dish out a bowl to somebody or fill it with some hot water directly from the urn, and then you can put it back into the thing. So those are the scenarios where you are actually allowed to take a pot and put it on a fire on Shabbos. It is doable because there's no cooking going on, everything's already cooked, and all you're doing is returning it to its original place that it was. Now, as an example, this would never work with something coming out of the refrigerator. Because coming out of the refrigerator, its intention, you don't have the intention when you took it off, it never started on Shabbos. It's already in the refrigerator, it's cooled off, your hand hasn't been on it, and so you'll never be able to get something out of the refrigerator and get it directly onto a fire, because you won't have met these conditions. These are only for when it started on the fire, you'll be able to put the pot back onto the fire. So far so good?
But you have to leave the lid on. When you're lifting it, that lid has to be on. You can only put it down, holding on to it, and then take the lid off, right?
You can't put the lid back on once it's back in on the fire.
Put it on first, and then put the whole caduceus,
right? That's right. Now, yeah.
If you didn't have the intention of putting it back on, but your hand is still on it,
couldn't get back on. Now, let me just go over, I have here letter D, adding water to a cholent pot. Ideally, the hot water should come directly from the urn into your cholent pot, so that it's coming from a kli rishon. It's coming from the urn, which is hot. It gets poured directly into your kli rishon, and everything is good. There are poskim who say, if you need to do this very often, you have to, because there's no other way around it, either because the urn can't be extended into a way in which you can get the cholent pot underneath it, or the cholent pot is too hot. There are poskim that say that you can pour water from the urn into a cup, and then from that cup directly into your cholent pot, as long as the cholent pot is not on the fire. The cholent pot has to be taken off. You might still need two people to do this. One person keeping their hand on that, another person getting the hot water and pouring it in. That you are allowed to do. It's not ideal. Ideal is to go directly from the urn into the chilled pot, but if that's impossible, then that going from the urn to a cup and then into your chilled pot as far as being able to add water. And remember, having intention that you're going
to
put it back.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, the remainder of this class was not recorded. We truly apologize.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.